Before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, Strawberry Frog. Strawberry Frog has been hailed as the very best in creative marketing, innovations, and transformation for financial brands worldwide. Working with iconic names like Morgan Stanley, Truist, First Abu Dhabi Bank, and many others, they've set the standard for excellence. I've particularly enjoyed covering the firm's ability to enact movements within these organizations that infuse their brands with real purpose that employees and customers can get behind. So whether you're a financial giant or a tech disruptor, Strawberry Frog is your go-to for activating brand purpose and driving transformative moments. Learn more about their groundbreaking work at strawberryfrog.com. Without further ado, let's hop into our podcast today. Welcome to another episode of the Tearsheet Podcast, where we explore financial services together with an eye on technology, innovation, emerging models, and changing expectations. I'm Tearsheet Editor-in-Chief, Zach Miller. In this episode, we'll be diving deep into the world of customer experience transformation with Vanguard, one of the leading names in investment management. And joining us are Aaron Taylor, Chief Information Officer, and Marco De Freitas, Head of CX and Digital, two seasoned professionals who've been instrumental in Vanguard's CX modernization journey. And throughout our conversation, we'll explore Vanguard's approach to modernizing its digital channels, its client journeys, and service platforms. From laying down the foundational pillars to unlocking the potential of what the firm calls CX Alpha, Aaron and Marco share invaluable insights into how Vanguard is improving the way clients interact with their services. We'll delve into the parallel advancements made by Vanguard, the impact of fintech innovations on their CX strategy, and how they measure the success of their initiatives, both internally and with clients. So stay tuned as we uncover the seminal steps behind Vanguard's CX transformation, explore the significances of data accessibility and personalized interventions, and discover what lies ahead in their journey towards even greater CX improvement. So sit back, relax, and get ready to embark on an insightful episode into Vanguard's CX modernization journey. Let's dive in. Great. So Aaron, who are you and what do you do?
Sure. Aaron Taylor, 18 years at Vanguard, and currently I have the pleasure of overseeing technology for our U.S. personal investor business. Zach, that's our business where we get to serve investors directly. And bounced around at different areas of Vanguard in both technology and the business over those 18 years. A big chunk of that has been in our advice space, helping to design and build out Vanguard's advice offerings.
Great. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Marco, who are you and what do you do?
Hey, Zach. Marco De Freitas here. I lead a team here at Vanguard called Client Experience in Digital, also on the personal investor side. So think of us as a product organization within the division. I've been with Vanguard for about 5 years now, leading and building this team. And prior to that, I was with another wealth manager, broker-dealer for 10 years. And prior to that, I was at different consulting firms, management consulting firms for 15 years. So always in the wealth management space and brokerage space. So, being a 25-year veteran in the industry itself, but with Vanguard for about five.
Welcome to the podcast, Marco.
Thank you.
Before we jump into the meat of our conversation, I'd love to talk a little bit about institutionally. And it's interesting, Aaron, as you were giving your background, I still feel like, and this is just like anecdotal, like Vanguard is still one of those few financial services organizations where I hear people that spend that much time with a specific individual organization. Is that still true? Or do you find that?
It's very true. It's interesting. I was transitioning out of military service and grad school in Boston. It's like, hey, what do I want to do? Friend or two here. And I thought 2 or 3 years, then I'll figure out what I really want to do. And here I am, Zach, 18 years later. Part of the culture at Vanguard from a talent perspective is rotations. Whether you're a specialist or a leader, let's get you experiencing different areas of the company, broaden your perspectives as a leader. And then the end result of that is, whatever major you pick, whether more in the tech space, product space, business operations space, asset management space, you can be, even more successful at leading that part of the organization. So yes, today we still find probably above average 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard, when you look across financial services.
And Marco, from your perspective, you know, with your long history in the industry, but at your perspective with a few different organizations, how do you find Vanguard's approach to CX maybe different from experiences you had elsewhere?
Yeah, great question. I think Vanguard, we have culturally, we have a very, very strong focus on clients. You know, we are client owned. You know, it starts there. Like our structure mm-hmm. is, you know, enables us to really be always in alignment with client interest. So I think at Vanguard, the difference with CX here is that it has a very strong focus on driving outcomes for clients. So everything we're doing here, both on our products and our advice, but particularly in our CX, is really a focus on how we drive better financial outcomes for clients. That's our mission. And you can see that, you know, it's not the mission here is not just beautiful words on the wall. It is actually how we enable the teams, how we set the goals for the teams in terms of driving better outcomes for clients. I think that's a big difference. Obviously, mm-hmm. we are trying to drive efficiencies for the business.
Sure.
But the ultimate goal is to make clients better investors and more successful financially. And we do that on the CX side.
Does good CX start then with internal culture at an organization? Does it actually begin there?
I think it begins there for sure. Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. it begins there. And really, that can be the differentiator, we believe. I mean, in other words, obviously, we want to, as a financial service, deliver great CX that enable our clients to perform the intents that they want to perform. So open an account, invest, you know, monitor. And we want to deliver a contemporary experience for clients that is easy to use, is intuitive. That's great. But that's kind of everybody does that as well. I think where it gets interesting and differentiated is when we take that next step and actually move the CX to now start to really help clients, you know, either through better default pathways that we study and believe that can be, you know, helping them make less mistakes on the investing side or actually capitalize on opportunities or nudge them in certain ways. So I think it starts there, like that the intent or the purpose of our CX and actually enables us to push it further into really creating a differentiation for Vanguard, we believe.
And
when you look at the kind of Vanguard strategic direction, and we borrow a metaphor from Jim Collins called the flywheel. And Vanguard, as an asset manager and financial services company, you'd probably expect to see something on that flywheel around the performance of funds and ETFs. And indeed, you would. Best performing funds and ETFs, and we're laser focused on that. But you'd also find two other really critical elements on that flywheel, and one around trusted advice, and another around world-class client experience. So, you know, world-class client experience sits right up there as far as where we focus our time and energy, right along with the performance of our mutual funds and ETFs and the performance of our Vanguard advice offerings.
Yep.
Before we continue, I want to take a moment to reflect on the incredible work being done by our sponsor, Strawberry Frog. Strawberry Frog doesn't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to activating brand purposes effectively. Just look at their collaboration with SunTrust and the On Up movement they created. It's an excellent example of moving beyond lofty purpose statements to tangible, impactful action. But it's not just about external movements like On Up. Strawberry Frog also excels at internal culture shifts, as seen with brands like First Abu Dhabi Bank, SunTrust, Walmart, and Pandora. From theory to action, Strawberry Frog knows how to bridge the gap, ensuring that movements resonate authentically with both companies and their audiences. So if you're looking to make a real difference in your industry, consider partnering with Strawberry Frog. Visit strawberryfrog.com to learn more about how they're shaping the future of marketing and transformation. Now back to our show.
Thank you for that. So now let's talk about how the organization is organized. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how each of your ecosystems are structured and how they work together, they complement one another, how you guys work together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is an area that Aaron and I have invested a lot of our time over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years here really building. So the way we work, Zach, on the client experience or product side or digital product management side is we have built a foundation on agile teams and create an operating model where you have always cross-functional teams of experts attacking a problem, a client need, or a, you know, managing a product. So what that means is, you know, every product team or every product management is, you know, comprised of a product owner, UX, depending on the product, we need UX capacity, as well as analytics and technology. So those are the kind of the core functions on any product. Different degrees of, you know, different weights depending on the product, but those are the core functions. So my teams are responsible, well, I have teams responsible for the product ownership, the role of the product owner, UX, and we have also some kind of more foundational teams that do triage, you know, incident management, things like that. But at the core, product owner, a UX, as we talked a little bit before the show, a little bit, the analytics teams, although they don't sit with our organizations, they are embedded into that product team. And then we have Aaron's teams on the technology or engineering side also embedded there. So over the last 3 years, we have continued to build this model, and actually, you know, we started very small with a few, you know, what we call journey teams working in a few journeys. And now we scaled this up to, you know, 250 teams that are working across the entire product spectrum, all the way from CX oriented teams that work on mobile, web, etc., journeys, as well as APIs and, you know, capabilities on the middle of the stack, and crew is how we refer to our employees. So the folks that serve our clients on the phone, we're also focused on the platforms that enables those teams. So that's a bit of how we are organized within the personal investor, but Aaron, please add to that.
Yeah, we often refer to it as kind of a two-in-the-box model. Mm-hmm. So Marco and I are pretty attached at the hip. His goals are my goals are his goals. We really try to march toward the same outcomes. We spend a lot of time making sure, excuse me, that the goals or what we call OKRs or outcomes are really lined up to where do we need to move things forward, and what's the most important parts of the strategy. And then his directs and my directs are also two in the box. So that flows right down to our leadership teams, and they spend an incredible amount of time together. The other part of my organization then would be providing the technology architecture, kind of as a shared service, along with, and some of your more technical listeners, along with site reliability engineering practices as well. So some of the things around our technology health and technology stability and just bringing some of that expertise to the table.
Appreciate that. Has the composition of the team or their backgrounds evolved over the past few years as financial technology has gotten more popular? Are you pulling people from other financial services companies? Are you finding, you know, people who are more pure tech backgrounds joining you? Has there been any impact, I guess, over the past few years?
Yeah, I think so, Zach. I think we have been, this team's, obviously we had technology teams before, you know, we had what we would call, not really product teams, but folks that were managing technology. But I think as we evolved, we...
IT, right?
IT, yeah. And we had those, back in the day, those business technology offices that were kind of sending requirements over the wall and hoping for the best, and got a lot of PowerPointing going around.
A lot of translation.
Exactly. No, I think the big transformation here has been, like, and Aaron and I always align on this, is like, we hate the distinction between business and technology. I think one would say, I sit on the business side, and, you know, Aaron is on the technology side. But for our teams, we, as Aaron described, in terms of alignment of OKRs and objectives, we try to really create a culture and an environment where there's no such a distinction. As really, we're solving client problems, everybody contributing with their expertise. And I think that transformation from that old model, which was tended to be more a little waterfall, to this model, I think we have been bringing different types of skill sets to the table. Obviously, experience with financial services is helpful, you know, but we have gone way beyond that. Like, you know, our UX teams, you know, we source them from a variety of backgrounds. Our research teams, you know, we value, you know, consumer, you know, service, you know, or there's like retailing expertise, other types of financial services. So the skill set has changed quite a bit. And this role of the product owner, you know, we originally, when we started this journey, you know, we started with folks that actually brought in interesting, you know, insights from inside the company. We actually brought folks from the call centers or the operations that had very you know, very strong and deep expertise in the business, and we train them in digital.
Advisors.
At the same time, we also were hiring from the outside folks that were really digitally, you know, experienced, and then we trained them in wealth management and advice. So for us, has been a mix of you know, internally, externally, but definitely very different skill set and composition of teams than we used to. I think before we had more of the project managers, you know, playing that role in this business technology offices. And even I think, Aaron, I'd love to let you comment on the technology side. Yeah. I think we also were bringing in to product ownership, like folks that were, they were not technologists, but they understood technology. So we could actually create more of this blended teams of capability.
Yeah, I would say on the application engineering side, probably 2/3, 1/3. So 2/3 were existing Vanguard IT crew who went through an incredible amount of reskilling as we began our transformation to cloud technologies from legacy to cloud, and we'll probably get into that later. And a 1/3, we would say, came externally from a lot of different industries, maybe health tech, other areas of fintech. But, you know, what attracted them to Vanguard was our mission and purpose, and that we were modernizing to contemporary leading edge technology stacks and the ability to kind of be able to work in this product team ecosystem, which has a smaller team, sometimes more of a startup team feel, but have all of the support and infrastructure of being part of a very large business and technology organization.
So we're convening here to talk about Vanguard CX modernization journey. And so let's dive into that. First, I'd like to understand, you know, what was the impetus? Like where the decision came to embark on such a journey? What's the genesis story there?
Yeah, I'll take a crack at that and please add Aaron. So Aaron mentioned our flywheel, Zach. So we strong believers that, you know, a value to client and driving loyalty to clients start with our funds. You know, then, you know, the capabilities that we have developed in advice, and then this world-class CX. And if we do that well, those three pillars well, we are going to be driving outcomes for clients, which therefore drives loyalty and, you know, growth, and then the flywheel spins. That said, we, you know, a few years ago, and we have had a focus on CX. CX actually was added to this flywheel. But if, say, 3 to 4 years ago, we realized that we were not moving as fast as we wanted. So we were, you know, a bit held back by a brittle infrastructure. We did not have this ecosystem we just described in the product product operating model was not in place. I think we were a bit of a hybrid of some teams doing some agile here, and other teams were not there yet. And I think, to be honest, I think resourcing wise, I think we're trying to do a lot of work, but not with the commensurate amount of resources and investment. So I think that was a realization we had. We were not just getting that, call it escape velocity, to really make meaningful changes and position us well to be, you know, way faster in the future. And that reflected on our client satisfaction scores. I think we were seeing, you know, some of our, you know, web, you know, journeys and channels that were not there. I think our mobile app, we were getting old, was built 10 years ago, and we haven't kind of rebuilt that. And we're starting to feel that on the client, our clients were telling that. And there was some, we had some challenges with some resilience in some platforms. So all of that, like, made us kind of go back to the drawing board a bit and say, look, we need a big step function change here in terms of investments. We need a better model. We need to really tackle some modernization of our core platforms in a way that set us up. Now, Aaron can talk more about this, but also we knew that the cloud was the future and the way to go, and but we needed a kind of big push. So that was when we went back and, you know, made a proposal to really kind of, you know, add hundreds of millions of dollars to our portfolio and kind of really do a soup to nuts, you know, modernization, not only of the CX, or what clients see, but as importantly, of our data, of our infrastructure, our technology infrastructure, that would set us up well for the future. So we went back, made the case, got support to move forward. And you know, the goal was to really promote change in three major areas here. One was on the client experience itself. So let's make sure that our CSAT numbers, our loyalty numbers kind of continue to grow, change our platforms there. So what clients see. Second, drive resiliency. Now in the end, in financial services, as you and your listeners know, like we're, you know, it doesn't matter if you have great CSAT, if you're not available, you know, all the time, or at least, you know, above your SLAs, I think doesn't matter. So we want to make sure that we had that that resiliency. And then lastly, like that set us up in a path to have greater agility. So we, you know, we will always be changing things here. So those are the three goals that we set ourselves to attack. And that's a bit of the background. And, you know, we knew that to enable that, we had to go through also big talent transformation. So we spent a lot of time building this model and attracting new talent into the organization. But that's a bit of the background. It was really us kind of realizing that we were not moving at the as fast as our clients deserved.
You know, what I'd add there is Vanguard has no walk-in centers, no face-to-face part of our operation. Mm-hmm. We've always been 100% virtual. And Marco, safe to say, the lion's share of all of our interactions are now digital.
100%, yeah.
So the client, the digital client experience is such an imperative for us. It is the channel for us. And just such a desire to be the very, very best at it, because that is how we interact with our clients at Vanguard.
Yeah. And even just to add to that, too, a great point there, and even on the interactions that we do rely on our crew, you know, our systems were not connected. And we had, you know, from an efficiency perspective and effectiveness, and it had an impact on the client experience. That was a greater opportunity. There's a great opportunity there to connect systems, to create a truly a omni-channel connected experience and drive efficiencies and scale as well. So those were all, you know, kind of motivators for us to kind of really go bigger a few years ago.
The one piece I would add as a motivator and, you know, we started to have a feel for this when we kicked off the strategy, is how important the availability of data would be to the future of our client experience and where Marco and the team wanted the client experience to go. And the fact that by and large, a lot of our operational data was just locked up in a legacy data mainframe environment. So, you know, when you think about how important AI and those machine learning models are going to be to a world-class digital client experience, part of this imperative, maybe more from a tech strategy perspective, was we've got to get our data ready to go, and we have to get it in a posture where we can use it in a much more powerful and impactful way as part of our client experience.
I appreciate that. Was there in parallel, a cultural change that needed to happen? It sounds like you brought in new talent, you made the decisions. You both emphasize the fact that Vanguard has always been a client-focused organization, an outcome-focused organization. Was there a cultural change that needed to happen as well?
Well, we hired Marco, so maybe there's your answer.
There you go. And it was a very positive change, and he made huge impact.
Yeah. Huge impact across the organization and beyond.
Exactly.
Yeah, listen, Zach, I would just underscore something Marco said. We always prioritize this, and things go in waves in a big organization where there's greater urgency and then wanes, and then the urgency comes back. But I think what Marco said is the realization of we're not punching hard enough here. We need to really lean into this and get after it. And part of it is, at the time, we were very much leaning into the launching and scaling of our advice offers, which again, mm-hmm. is a really important part of how we believe we can help all kinds of investors achieve, you know, their investment success. But because maybe we were so focused there, we weren't investing and focusing enough on the lion's share of the client experience, where most of our clients are interacting with us on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So a realization of, we got to get after both of these and step up our game.
Yeah, and I think coming in here to this, if you agree, Aaron, like I do think that Vanguard has been extremely successful with its financial products. Like our funds are, you know, has carried us to become a $9 trillion company. And we always value the client experience. We want to do better there. But I do think we, well, one, I think cultural change that we have kind of continued to weave in here is that it's more about the, how do you do that though? Like, how do you actually drive that client experience, you know? And I think a cultural change that we have promoted here and I has been the cultural change of experimentation. Mm-hmm. Like, we're very big on experimentation and really testing things. I think before, it's a function also, the model, many financial services firms had, that you had the budget to do something, you go do something, a bit more waterfall, and you kind of just charge the future as you knew everything. I think we have been way more, thoughtful about how do we actually leverage data to experiment, to really put things in test, go deeper into research. You know, how do you leverage design thinking to really kind of come up with the experiences, but then test. And I think that has been different. I think the broader organization has not been used to that. But that was a big one. So, like, how do we invest in the how and create a how that is that enables us to really get to solve the problems that the client have, and not maybe go on our intuition or whoever speaks the loudest in the room here. But
so can we just be a little? I could use some help with the explicitness around the timeline. So when did this modernization CX journey start? Was it with your hiring, Marco, 5 years ago?
I think I would say it started a little bit before I got hired. Vanguard had created more of an enterprise-wide team to focus on CX, mm-hmm. and that started. That was about 18, I want to say. They went on for about a year and a half, and it was more of an enterprise initiative, and I think part of the realization there, though, was they were not as potentially as close to the businesses as they could.
Yeah.
And I think there was a decision to actually take that team and actually
embed
the different pieces and embed it into the business. So that was when we created CXD as we know today. That was when I was hired to lead the CXD or this CX a team within the business. I think that the true, and we were on that modernization path, but I think 2 years in, or a year and a half into my tenure, I think that was where we started to kind of realize that we were not moving fast enough. And in 2021 is when we really said, okay, we need more resources. We need to step on the gas here. And that the so-called modernization program started in 2021 with this step change in resources. But we have been working on CX before, but it was not probably in the most optimal way. So embedding into the business and getting that extra capital, I think was what we called the modernization program, which is started in 2021.
And from a technology side across Vanguard, we had begun the journey to the cloud in certain areas, mm-hmm. but exactly what Marco said, as far as, okay, let's step on the gas pedal and really get organized and get serious and get after that. Mid-2021 was really the get set go point, and brings us to where we are today.
And that two in the box structure, did it happen in parallel? Or was that more of a historical move?
Yeah, I think it started around the time, this central pillar started in around 18, but it was very small scale, Zach. I think mm-hmm. that I think with this scaled part of this, it was more in the 20. So it was in parallel. So we already had a good foundational operating model. And I think that was actually critical, because I think now looking back, had we gone, we already embarked in the modernization program, in the middle of the pandemic, and which was kind of a very interesting timing for us. But where I'm so happy and glad that we actually had a very good foundation that we started to put in place in 2019-2020 in terms of this operating model. Because I think it would be very hard for us to organize around that infusion of capital if we didn't have that foundation. But it's kind of already happening in parallel. We got scaled in 2020, and then 2021, we benefit from that foundation, and then kind of brought it to a whole new level. I think we pretty much kind of, doubled down, literally doubled the number of teams in about a year and a half, which was we need that foundation was critical for us to do that.
Awesome. I'm always impressed to hear, the timelines and I have an appreciation for how long it would take to kind of get some of these programs moving. So that was sort of the intention of some of my questions yep. around that. Can you give some real life examples of some of the things that you've, particularly within CX, that you've modernized?
Sure. So the way we approached the modernization, Zach, just for framing a little bit, would be like, all right, we have to modernize our digital channels. So mm-hmm. public site, we call public site like the prior to log on, the secure site where most of the action works, you know, including where all the journeys are, and our mobile app. So that we that was a big area of focus for us, those digital channels. We also modernized what we call the client journeys. Well, they traverse through those channels, but, you know, things like account opening, really thinking about it more horizontally end to end, and how does it connect to operations and call centers. So we modernized client journeys, open an account, you know, invest, money movement. So that's a big area of focus for us. And maybe just to go back a little bit and give you a sense, like today, if you look at our secure site, we have it almost 95% modernized. There's still, you know, there's a long tail that we still need mm-hmm. to get through, but we have a completely new secure site. We have a new, completely new public site with a content management system that powers that. And then we have a completely new mobile app. We also modernize pretty much all journeys. So account opening, invest, money movement. And we believe that, you know, the ones that matter are world-class at this point. Then the other bucket of modernization for us was our, what we call the service platforms, we call spinal platforms, but those are the platforms that enable our crew. So contact center technology, CRM, BPM. And then in the process, we have also added new features and capabilities along the way. So we have continued to expand our feature set in advice. So we have a very robust set of advice capabilities that the CX has been modernized, but we actually have created new products like our digital advisor capability or service. More features have been layered in, like tax loss harvesting and things like that. And then new product functionalities, like we launched a cash management offer that was new. So clients, instead of investing in mutual money market mutual funds, can also invest in cash products that are bank products. So those are key areas. And then just to give you a sense, like we have added website, for example, we have been adding functionality and capabilities there to portfolio analytics tools in there, a support center to help clients self-provision. And that journey persists, but those are the key areas, the digital channels, client journeys, service platforms, and then additional functionalities and products that we launched. Those are the key areas that our CX modernization touched over the last 2 to 3 years.
And I'm curious, Marco, this was happening around the time that, you know, some of the most popular, you know, fintech companies were sort of just cutting their teeth.
Yep.
And I think they, you know, I remember back to those heady days where it was like, you know, there was headline number growth of how many new accounts were being opened,
yep.
this sort of emphasis on bigger, faster,
yep.
you know, like not necessarily better. Long way of asking you a question, like when you started to rethink some of these journeys, did fintech's approach to sort of rethinking some of those things, or maybe shortcutting some of those processes that traditional firms didn't do, did that impact, I guess, your thinking along the way?
Oh, it definitely did. I think it did from a how we do it and what we, you know, how the experience works. Not necessarily though what the types of products are offering. So what I mean by that is, you know, back then our competitors were very focused on trading, on capabilities that, if you remember, GameStop was a big mm-hmm. thing. And so we definitely didn't get carried away, and we stayed true to our mission around diversified portfolios and pooled products and kind of long-term investing. So that didn't change, that we were very keen on, we don't need to go there, that's not us. So they didn't change the strategy in building trading tools, for example. I mean, we stayed mm-hmm. the course on our long-term investing. Where I think it did influence our thinking was, you know, there were a lot of those firms were coming up with simpler ways to do things, you know, yeah. very very contemporary experiences on mobile, on browser. And that's where our learning was focused. Like, so how did they do that? Now, how did they, reduce steps in certain things? How did they, from a design perspective? And that definitely influenced our thinking. So it was more on the how and what we present. And not only financial services. I mean, I think the bar for us is not only our direct competitors, but it's also all the other apps that you have on your phone. So we were looking at those as well, but it didn't change our offering, if you will, from a focus perspective, but definitely influenced the how and what we needed to do so clients would see us at the leading edge of the design and the experience.
And I would say we not only admired those fintechs and startups from elements of their UX, but also their speed.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we thought about the why for this investment, it was to achieve agility. And sometimes we would say that to be able to move at the speed of a startup, right? We so much wanted to get to that level of speed and agility to be able to achieve the level of experimentation that we knew was going to be really important for us. So we humbly admire startups and fintechs, try to learn as much as we can from them in some areas when it makes sense, partner with them. But for us, it was in an organization like Vanguard, how can we achieve that level of agility?
Yeah, and I think for them, like I remember my previous experience were being asked, why can't we simplify the account opening this way, that way? I mean, a lot of them had very simple business models. Mm-hmm. So in a way, sometimes it could be an excuse for bigger firms because we are more complex. We have dozens of types of accounts that we need to think about. They had one at the time. But I do think that, we here have been very serious about, like, let's not use that as an excuse. Let's actually understand what they're doing and see if we can apply here. But definitely that enabled them to move faster. But to Aaron's point, like, we want that speed as well, despite our complexity. So how do we simplify our environment to be able to get there too?
Gotcha. So I'm kind of curious how you measure the success of some of the CX initiatives, both internally as an organization, but also with your clients. I'm curious on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, I'll touch a little bit on maybe call it more the business side, but I think, in the end of the day for us, our success has to be what clients tell us. And what I mean by that is, we focused on client satisfaction, loyalty. Are they seeing the benefits of our change, of our CX on their day-to-day interactions with us? So we focus a lot, we monitor client satisfaction very closely, which, happy to report is at an all-time high for our digital channels.
Nice work.
Yeah, no, thank you. And then also, how does that translate into loyalty? So we continue to measure NPS. And our clients growing with us, are they bringing more money to us? So net cash flow is for us another metric that shows that clients they like what they are seeing and what they are using, and they are rewarding us with their dollars. And we do the CX measurement, it's both in terms of what we survey clients. So we do a lot of that survey, we prompt them to give us their opinion, but we also monitor and look at it operationally. So we're not only relying on what they tell us, but what we believe to be the best standard. So we look at, journey completion rates, fallout rates in some of our processes. So we have some operational metrics that complement, this kind of mosaic of like what they tell us and what we see. But that's a lot of our measurement there. I think the other one that we are now starting to look at more and more, Zach, is like, as I mentioned, the experiences that we're building are intended to drive better investment behavior. So we're starting to now also put a lot of effort into kind of creating, driving experiments and then changes to our experience to drive that. And we're measuring that. So what I mean by that is, we internally have a term called CX Alpha, which is, can we generate additional returns, let's call it alpha, through our CX? And the answer is yes, we can. And so we're starting to measure that. So an example would be a client. We're trying to nudge clients to take advantage, full advantage of their contribution limits to IRAs. So we nudge them to do that through the experience, and we measure against control, have our interventions, provide some positive results, and they have. So we're trying to add that to our measurement system and say, like, how much value, over a period of time for clients we have produced from that. So, but those are some of some of the core metrics on the business side. But Aaron, I mean, I think we can talk a little bit about the technology as well.
Yeah, we mentioned agility or speed. We measure that very closely. Hey, these 280 plus product teams, how many of them are deploying to production on a daily basis, multiple times a day, on a weekly basis? Those that aren't, why not? What's kind of the flow of value through those teams and ultimately getting to our clients? A big why for this investment and transformation was around making sure that these journeys and these experiences are always healthy, always snappy, and always available to our clients. It's so important because that builds trust over time. And again, when you look at our service delivery model at Vanguard, the trust in the CX and the trust in those experiences is incredibly important. So we measure how is our health and availability in many different ways. And a lot of your listeners would certainly be familiar with things like SLOs and SLOs for every API. And not just what's the latency or how fast is the response, how fast is it delivering up the information or data or calculations from the algorithm or prediction from the AI model, but how healthy is it? How correct is that, and what percentage of the time? And then really kind of getting into the science of that and understanding where that erodes over time. Why does that happen? So certainly these measurements around how are our product teams performing? Are we getting out of their way? Are we setting them up to achieve these levels of agility to be able to experiment with elements of the CX and get feedback earlier and sooner as much as possible? And then, of course, the availability and the health of all of this modernized technology and these capabilities in the cloud. How are we improving, always being available and ready for our clients in a very healthy way?
That's very impressive. And my mind's still stuck in CX Alpha. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how being able to measure the impact of those changes and not just making good experiences, but experiences that make your customers more money over time, making good decisions. Like, that's a really powerful statement.
And I might just link that real quickly. Some number of years ago, Vanguard published some pretty well-read work in the advice community called Advisors Alpha. And it was some work out of our investment strategy group that really sought to quantify, boy, the value of that advisor, that advisor who is really aligned to your goals and the value they bring, not just from the investment management portion of advice, but all of the financial planning and the behavioral coaching elements of advice. So for Vanguard, it was pretty natural to say, boy, we really believe in the alpha, right? Or the additional investment return and results you can bring to a household or to an investor through a really strong and valuable advisor. How can we parlay that into our digital client experiences? So that was a pretty exciting event in Vanguard to start to say, we're all wrapping our brains around Advisors Alpha, and continues to be such an area of focus for us. Wow, we can actually create and generate and deliver alpha in our digital client experiences as well.
Yeah.
And it's particularly interesting for an organization whose roots are in delivering beta to customers.
We do more than beta.
Exactly.
Look at our active fund lineup.
I'm stuck in the past. I know we're getting near the end of our conversation, and I'm kind of curious, where you guys feel you are in the journey, and I guess what are you looking forward to? What's next in this journey?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think we are. Now, we always looked at the transformation of CX in a kind of almost like a ziggurat format here. Like, there's the foundational piece, which we talked a lot about, our technology, our processes, and our talent. I feel like there's still more work to be done there, but we're on our way there, call it 80% there. I think we are transforming. The next layer up is our actual CX. I think there we are. So that's actually what clients see in terms of modern CX. We are 95% there, 90% there. I think where it goes next is the next layer up of that ziggurat, which is actually, we just talked about CX Alpha. It is, all right, how can we add more value to our clients? And I think there we are 10% in. I think there's a way that's the real differentiation. There's a lot more there for us, but now we feel pretty excited about the progress so far, but there's a lot of work to be done in the future. But we feel excited. The clients are seeing the results on those two bottom layers, and they're starting to now see the CX Alpha, and there's more to come on that third piece there.
Yeah, what's so nice, Marco and I will comment, is we're entering into this chapter of value realization.
Yeah.
So we have been so focused on the foundational areas, modernizing trading systems, modernizing critical areas of business logic and capabilities, refactoring it into micro-sized services that teams can change and evolve more quickly without risking disrupting the rest of the ecosystem, kind of getting ourselves out of that legacy brittleness, so to speak. And now that we've got our data increasingly in a more accessible way, in a more understandable way, that through a distributed product model, our teams are being able to innovate now in ways that they always wanted to, but was just expensive and harder and took longer to do in the past. So a key element of the CX Alpha is these digital interventions have to be really relevant to you as the individual. They have to be personalized. Well, we know, and your audience knows, you don't get to personalization unless you have really good access to your data, really good understandability of your data, and then, of course, you can build world-class models that can leverage that data and really help deliver these very relevant, personalized interventions that we call CX Alpha. So just so exciting for us day-to-day to see our teams be able to turn the corner into this deeper level of value realization and be able to leverage now the data and these technologies in ways that was just really hard and expensive for them to do in the past.
Marco, Aaron, thanks for joining us on the Tearsheet podcast today.
Thank you for having us.